Good morning, everyone. I welcome all of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though the number we have this morning is small, but our God is our great God, and then we are here to praise and worship our God together. And in this morning at 9 o'clock service, we had a new church member joined our church. It's a Gibbon family, Nick, Crystal, Blake, and Natalie Gibbon. They joined our church, at 9 o'clock service. And also we have, pictures from Cass, mission trip. Yes, three of our church members, went down to Detroit area to join the mission in Cass community. And they had a really, wonderful time together. Yes. Chris did, wonderful job. And also we have, mobile food pantry, Amy, would you please, share with us the mobile food pantry mission?
Good morning. So on March 21st, we have a privilege of offering a way to bless lots of our Midland neighbors. Over 150 families will come to the Dow Diamond, the east parking lot, which is where the farmer's market is usually held. And we are going to host a mobile food pantry. They'll bring a semi up from the Food Bank of Eastern Michigan, which is in Flint. And we'll have produce and meat and milk and shelf-stable products for folks to drive up and be able to take home. Folks will, and bread products, will be able to go home with a box and a couple boxes and a couple bags of food to help bridge the gap of insecurity with food. And we are called to support folks who are struggling with hunger, with loneliness, with illness. And when we are serving those who are suffering in those ways, we're serving Jesus. So it is our blessing and our privilege. The Thursday the 21st, we're going to get together about 8:30 that morning. We'll have a time of prayer and instructions. The semi will come at 9, and we will unpack and get things sorted and ready for folks to come through at 10 a.m. So would sure love to have you. Mobile food pantry, and you can check the e-blast for details again. Thank you. Okay.
And then, day of prayer, Hillary, can you share with us about the day of prayer? Yeah.
We'll be having our next day of prayer on Monday, Thursday in the chapel. And it will be quiet and contemplative. And I just hope you can make some time to join us to pray for our church in the world, but also for ourselves.
Member Care Ministry. Yeah.
Hello, my name is Beth Hyde, and I'm speaking as well for Chris Gorowski. We're the co-chairs of the Member Care team here at church. Our Member Care mission statement is, we hold in our hearts a commitment to promote caring for the spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being of our congregation. Our team provides a variety of services to our members. It includes the prayer team coordinated by Pat Seaton and Hillary Ferguson, the visitation team for seniors in our church coordinated by Mike Luce, meal cards and notes to those who have been hospitalized, and grief booklets for those who have lost a loved one, among a lot of other services we provide. I want to ask that each of you pass on prayer concerns for members who are in need or who are hospitalized so we can pray and show our concern. If you go into the hospital, be sure to notify the church, as with HIPAA concerns, we don't get notification directly. As many of you are aware, there has been a significant rise in the last year in needs for basic food, housing, and paying bills in our community and across the country. This is clear across all assistance programs in our county and doesn't stop at the doors of our church, with members also facing their own financial and other crises. The Member Care team over the last several years has used portions of our budget to help our members when they're in crisis. We, along with other church teams, supported members impacted by the 2020 flood. We've helped when a member had a house fire and had to be relocated to a hotel for 6 months, including over Christmas. We've sponsored a young family after the loss of a father to have a special Christmas. We've helped with repairs on members' homes, and we recently helped a senior move from an apartment to assisted living. We're looking to continue and hopefully expand this program in 2024 based on the Easter offering donations, which are being designated for this expanded member assistance program. It does take communication to know when there are needs in our congregation, so we ask that you privately contact Chris or myself if you know of someone who is struggling spiritual, emotional, or physical needs. Mm. We're here to help support.
Thank you. And please remember this, as we celebrate our Easter Sunday, the Easter offering will be used for the people who are in need in our church through our member care ministry. So please prayerfully prepare your offerings for Easter Sunday. And this coming Wednesday, we will have an Advocacy Day in Lansing. This year's focus is mental health. So we pray together in the first service, and then I'd like to invite you to stand up and let us pray this prayer together. Dear most gracious God, Jesus healed the sick. It made no difference to him whether the person was rich or poor, male or female, Jew or Gentile. Jesus had compassion and restored people to health. So we ask Christ's blessings on these butterflies. May they remind our legislators that providing mental health care for those who need help improves the lives of us all. And we ask a blessing on these justice seekers who are traveling to Advocacy Day in Lansing. May they speak words of truth and compassion on behalf of those who need access to mental health resources. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the healer, restorer, and savior. Amen. The four of our church members will go down to Lansing this Wednesday to participate in this Advocacy Day. And please pray for them too. And then they made special butterflies. They painted the butterflies on the paper plates. And we're going to share that gift with the people who are attending that special day in Lansing. And let us greet one another. Please go to the person you do not know well and share your names. Hi, Bill. Together. Dear God, we are so glad that you have called us to be your family together. God, we want to praise and worship you, Lord, in this worship service. God, we ask your Holy Spirit to be with us and receive our worship and receive our lives. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we begin our worship with "Here I Am to Worship." See you. gather here not only to say, Lord, you are Lord of all, but we also gather here to hear who we are. And our next song reminds us who we are.
This morning at Sunday school, we remembered that it is the fourth getting ready day for Easter. We retold the legend of the Easter eggs, and we also thought about the ministry of Jesus, especially how he healed and taught us to pray. And if we could just pray together, what we did the first service when the kids were here too. Dear Jesus, thank you for being God's holy son. Because of you, we know we are loved. Because of you, we know how to pray. Because of you, we know we are forgiven. Because of you, we know how to be good at living. Amen. For some reason, good at living brought some giggles. Thank you.
As we enter into our pastoral prayer, I invite you to sing along and meditate On our next song, Have Faith in God.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you for your love that sacrificed your Son Jesus for our sins. We give thanks to you for our church family, which you purchased through the blood of your Son Jesus shed on the cross. We give thanks for giving us the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, holiness, and unity. As we are in the middle of the Lenten season this year, we pray that Middle and First can be more faithful and conscious of our call as your missionary people in our neighborhood, near and far. Be with our missionaries, mission stations, and mission agencies that we have been supporting. Let them be sharpened in their call and strengthen their ministries, even though they are in challenging and transitional situations. God, remember the people in Haiti who are in turmoil. God, let them find the peace at this time and restore the order of a society by allowing them compassionate and honest leaders. God, the devastation continues in Gaza. We pray for your peace in both Gaza and Israel. The United States has been in unrest as we head into a November presidential election. We pray for your peace in our country. Remember the war-torn countries, Ukraine, Russia, Myanmar, and many others. God, we pray for a ceasefire and the restoration and healing of the people in those countries. Show your goodness and mercy to our church family who have been in sickness, despair, and suffering. Surround them with your mighty power and help them to be healed and find hope in you for the future. Thank you, God, for calling us to be your family. Let us be an authentic and holy community of faith in Jesus Christ. We prayed this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering, and please take out our French pad and let us know you are here today with us. And we really appreciate your continued support for our missions we have at our church. And please, you know, join our mission with your prayer and also with your monetary commitment. Osher, would you please come forward? Let us pray. Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have in our lives. We acknowledge that all we have in our lives are from you, Lord. And also, God, this morning, we remember your grace and your love for our lives. So we give these offerings and also our lives to you, Lord. God, please accept them and use them only for your kingdom and only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah.
The scripture reading this morning is from two places in the New Testament. First, the Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to work in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Watch out that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental principles of the world, and not according to Christ. But in him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn with a large family. That is from Romans 8:29. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please bow your head and let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for the mystery of your presence in our lives. And as we are getting together here in this sanctuary, we know that you are with us, with your Holy Spirit. God, please speak to our hearts. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'm so glad this year during the Lenten season, we can have time to think about the purposes of our life through the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Are you reading that book right now? Just, you know, raise your hand if you are reading your books, okay? I strongly recommend you to read that book. And a lot of people all over the world, they really enjoy that book and they learn a lot. I call the book The Purpose-Driven Life as the small encyclopedia for Christian life. So you can find a lot of information there. And also, I'm sure if you have some questions about your Christian life, you can find those answers in the book too. Do you remember the first purpose of our life? Do you remember? Worship. Worship. What is worship? Worship is our response to God's love. Worship is our response to God's love. Why are you here? Because we love our God. Because we know how much God has loved us. That is why we are here, to praise and worship God and to give our lives to our God. And then what is the second purpose of our life? Do you remember? It is a fellowship. We are formed for God's family, right? It is all about fellowship. And the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. And in Apostle Paul's time, the secular meaning of koinonia was engagement. Engagement. One of the most intimate word for the union of two persons before their marriage. When the word was used in the church, the meaning had been changed to sharing. So koinonia is sharing. What is fellowship? Fellowship is all about sharing. Sharing our resources, sharing our time, sharing our talent, sharing our strengths and power and energy, sharing our experiences, our knowledge and skills, even sharing our lives. That is koinonia. That is fellowship. Today, we will explore our third purpose, which is we were created to become like Christ. I think in this simple sentence, we can find three lessons we need to remember. First of all, we are not perfect. We are not perfect. I'm not perfect. And also I know you are not perfect, right? Bethany, why are you smiling? Yes, we are not perfect. We are in the making. We are on the repair. Do you know that? And there is still room for us to grow in our love for God and also in our love for our neighbor all the time. One of Pastor Rick Warren's repeated messages in his book is this: our life here on earth is to learn how to love others. Our life here on earth is to learn how to love others. Also, you are created to become like Christ means our journey of life has an ultimate destination, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be the goal of our lives. Jesus Christ is the model of our lives. We have to be more like Jesus in the ways we think, say, and also act. That's why we have to pray all the time this prayer: God, let me resemble your son Jesus today in my thoughts, words, and actions. Holy Spirit, let me be an aroma of Jesus. Jesus, I'm your ambassador to the world. Please be with me. Is Jesus Christ your goal of your life? Are you intentionally trying to resemble Jesus Christ every day in your life? Is Jesus Christ your model that you want to follow? We have to pray this kind of prayer every day. So let us pray, this prayer together. God, let me resemble your son Jesus today in my thoughts, words, and actions. Holy Spirit, let me be an aroma of Jesus. Jesus, I'm your ambassador to the world. Please be with me. Lastly, God is working on us. God will use all the things we are experiencing, like joy, sorrow, gratitude, frustration, gladness, and challenges, to help us grow more like Jesus Christ. That is the last meaning of you were created to become like Jesus. God is working on us right now. Let me share with you some scriptures on God's plan for our transformation, for our sanctification. Let your roots grow down into Christ and draw up nourishment from him. Okay, where can we find our spiritual nourishment? From our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to be connected to Jesus Christ every single day so that we can grow together. See that you go on growing in the Lord and become strong and vigorous in the truth. I know we have a lot of our church members who have tried hard to go extra miles to put our church on the right track. I know. I really, really appreciate that. But we have to remember, whenever we do ministries, we have to remember if we are growing. What I'm saying is, I really appreciate you're using your spiritual gifts from God. But whenever we use our spiritual gifts, we have to think about, how about the fruit of the Spirit? We have to check on ourselves all the time if we are growing in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as the life of his son. We see the original and intended shape of our lives there in him. God is working on us because we love our God. You were created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. That is what God is doing in our lives. Let me quote Pastor Rick Warren on this purpose. God's ultimate goal for your life on earth is not comfort, but character development. He wants you to grow up spiritually and become like Christ. Becoming like Christ does not mean losing your personality or becoming a mindless clone. God created your uniqueness, so he certainly doesn't want to destroy it. Christ-likeness is all about transforming your character, not your personality. This process of changing us to be more like Jesus is called sanctification. And it is the third purpose of your life on earth. As we are transformed to be like Jesus Christ, we must remember the following three things. The first one is our character development is the work of the Holy Spirit. As I preached last Sunday, God's concern for our life is bearing fruit. You remember my sermon last Sunday, right? I think I feel like I'm in a different church. Yeah. Yes, God's concern for our life is bearing fruit. So what is the fruit? Love. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You remember that, right? Galatians chapter 5, 21, 22. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are different kinds of love. That's why we have a singular noun, fruit, not plural noun, fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." I remember when I was in the seminary, I asked my systematic theology professor about the Holy Spirit. Because I was confused, because the Holy Spirit seems to have a lot of roles. So I asked him, "Professor, can you define the Holy Spirit in a single sentence?" I still remember his answer. The Holy Spirit is Spirit of love. And as I further studied the Holy Spirit, that definition, the Holy Spirit is Spirit of love, came from Augustine. He just defined the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love. When the Spirit moves in us, among us, we can find God's love. When we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, the prayer can become an expression of our love. When you serve people who are in need, according to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that person who is receiving your support and help, that person will find God's love because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. As God is working in us, Philippians chapter 2, 13, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." As God is working in us, we have to respond obediently to the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Apostle Paul was always conscious of the gospel of Jesus Christ he had, and also the grace he had received from God through Jesus Christ. So this is what he said. My old self has been crucified with Christ. Do you know that? Our old selves have been crucified on the cross. It is no longer I live, but Christ lives in me. Do we intentionally, are we intentionally all the time, invite Jesus Christ to rule in us? But Christ lives in me. So I live in the earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. He was really intentional about this. I have the grace of God in my life. So I don't want to treat this inner grace meaninglessly. When we obey, we can understand why the Holy Spirit nudged us to follow his directions. And also when we obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can experience the power from above, the power to be healed, the power to be restored, the power to be renewed. When we obey. At least 8 times in the New Testament, we are told to make every effort in our growth toward becoming more like Jesus Christ. 8 times in the New Testament. Secondly, develop spiritual habits by practicing the means of grace. Ephesians chapter 4, 24, put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To do so, we have to develop spiritual habits of being in the presence of God by practicing the means of grace in our lives. In our Methodist, you know, theology, what is the means of grace? What is grace? The presence of God is grace. That is one of the definitions of grace. The presence of God. So whenever we find God's grace, we find the presence of God there. And what is the goal of practicing the means of grace? By experiencing God's grace in our lives, we can grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Let me quote the Book of Discipline on the means of grace. Life in the Spirit. If we are living in the life of the Holy Spirit, it means it involves diligent use of the means of grace, such as praying, fasting, attending upon the sacraments, and inward searching in solitude. It also encompasses the communal life of the church in worship, mission, evangelism, service, and social witness. Last but not least, we need our church family to become more like Jesus Christ. We need our church family. Rick Warren talks to us about the crucial role of the church for our character development. Spiritual maturity is not a solitary individual pursuit. You cannot grow to Christ-likeness in isolation. You must be around other people and interact with them. You need to be a part of a church and community. Why? Because true spiritual maturity is all about learning to love Jesus, love like Jesus, and you can't practice being like Jesus without being in relationship with other people. Remember, it's all about love, loving God and loving others. So, if life is all about to learn how to love others, our church is a laboratory that we can practice loving others and loving God in our church. Ephesians chapter 4, 13 says, this will continue until we are mature, just as Christ is, and we will be completely like him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Here, Apostle Paul says, we It means the church family. We will be formed and reformed continually to be more like Jesus Christ. That is what Jesus Christ is doing in our lives, especially in our church family. By doing so, we can cultivate a life in common. Let us read this scripture together. I will put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. I like the phrase, cultivating a life in common. To do so, we have to be considerate of one another. The church is like that. It's a laboratory. We learn how to love, we learn how to serve, we learn how to worship our God in our community. Let us say to the person sitting next to you, God is working on you. We need you. Just talk to the person sitting next to you. Bethany, God is working on you. We need you. Amen. I'm so glad, you know, in the second service, all the couples are really good at sharing that. Yes, God is working on us, working on me, and we need you, all of you, in our community. Let me share with you a story of Loren Cunningham. He founded Youth with a Mission, YM. Have you ever heard about that mission agency? Yeah. And some of our church members, they participated in this, you know, mission agency. I remember when I came to our church, there were some church members, their kids, the church members' kids, they, you know, participated in this, you know, mission agency, which is an interdenominational Christian training organization for missions. There is a, you know, mission, they used to have, you know, mission centers for training for young people, especially in Kona, Hawaii, and Switzerland, and even South Korea, Jeju Island. And now I think they just have one place in Kona, Hawaii. And they have to participate in 6 months or 1 month training. After that, they send out all the young people. Sometimes pastors join that, you know, special training. And they are renewed, you know, about their calling from God. And just, they just, you know, pray together when they plan to go out to the world for missions. Because some people don't have enough money to do missions. So they just pray to each other and they support for one another. And if someone has, you know, received more, you know, donations, then they share that donation with other people who need them. So, you know, a lot of especially young, especially college students, those in the 20s and early 30s, you know, they have been trained through this organization and they were sent to the world. And, you know, he had influenced so many souls to lead them to Christ and trained many young leaders and pastors to find their calling from God. I was in college when he came to South Korea and led a 3-day revival rally in my hometown, Chuncheon. I was so moved by his preaching and read several of his books. One of his mottos for his ministry is still in my mind. You do the possible, and then God will do the impossible. You do the possible, and then God will do the impossible. We have to endeavor to work with the Holy Spirit obediently, following His nudging in our lives so that we can become more like Jesus Christ. Loren Cunningham passed away October last year. He left this message for us. If you do not obey God, it's not possible for you to love God. If you don't listen to God's voice, you cannot love Him. That was his last interview. It was, you know, done in South Korea when he visited South Korea before his, you know, death. When we love our God, which means when we discern God's voices for our lives, we will find ourselves continually being transformed. Let us love our God throughout our lives so that we can be sanctified continually through our lives. Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, we are so grateful that you are working on us. God, help us to be sensitive to what you are doing in our lives. We learn that our life, one of our lives and purposes is to be transformed continually, to become more like Jesus Christ. God, help us to have our Lord Jesus Christ as our model for our lives, as our destiny for our lives. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Our final song today is a sung benediction called Christ Beside Me. It is the words that are written on St. Patrick's breastplate. So I invite you to stand and we will sing together.
Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be continually in line with God's mighty hands that is transforming you continually throughout your life. Now go in peace. Amen.